old Bible. This Bible was given to me upon graduation from high school on the 28th of June in 1964. So you can see the pages are somewhat torn, but I studied this Bible, and I've got all of my underlines in it, and every now and then I break it out when I forget something that I know within me very well, but my mind can't bring it back. And I want to actually talk today about something and a subject which is not one of those things that I had underlined in this precious book, but something that I read this morning, and the Lord began to enlighten me with what it really means to us. And so this morning we are going to look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. Now, if you know anything about Jeremiah, you know that Jeremiah was the prophet who prophesied against prophets. He prophesied against the prophets that were prophesying falsely. He prophesied against the pastors that were leading folk astray. He prophesied against the priests who were not functioning properly in their offices. And Jeremiah is strongest among the prophets to let those who serve in the kingdom of God to know what is required of them. But down here in chapter 24, we begin with a very interesting passage. And I believe that we can apply this not only to the priest, the prophet, and the pastor, the teacher, but also to all of us who call on the name of the Lord. For it is imperative at all times that we learn to follow the direction and the decree of God. Whether his decree seems to us to be opposed to his nature, or whether it is something that we can't understand how we can be blessed by it, we still are obligated to obey the word of the Lord. Isn't that right? All right, we're going to start in verse 24. Of the book of Jeremiah. I said Jeremiah. Amen. Sorry. Amen. Everybody with us? Jeremiah. Chapter 24 of Jeremiah. Amen. All right. We got that? Let me say it. Chapter 24 of the book of Jeremiah. Thank you. Amen. And he says this: the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and brought them to Babylon. Now, we want to stop to reflect on the fact that there are God's people who are in captivity, who have been carried away unto another place and who are full of abilities and talents, all of the carpenters and the smiths, those who know how to do things, have been carried away into captivity. Now, Jeremiah said he saw two baskets. He saw two baskets, and in the baskets were figs. And if we read more, we're going to find out something about the figs that were in the basket. In verse 2, he says, one basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Hallelujah. One basket of good and one basket of naughty. And it's interesting that he uses the word naughty. You know, we use that word when children misbehave and don't follow the instruction of the parents. Hallelujah. And then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good. And the evil, very evil. Now, notice he has switched the description from naughty to evil. And not only evil, but very evil. And he says that they cannot be eaten. They were so evil. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Hallelujah. For I will set mine eye upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and that they saw my people. And they shall be my people, rather, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, and remain in this land, them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword and famine and pestilence among them till they be consumed from the land that I give unto them and to their fathers. Now that's quite an awesome revelation given unto Jeremiah. It speaks to those who really want to obey God. Sometimes obeying God means experiencing things that are unpleasant. For God allowed his people to be captured and led away captive. By Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But God said that he allowed them to be taken captive for their own good. See, we don't always know what's coming, but God knows what's coming. And God said, I allowed them to be taken away for their own good. And he says, those who obey me, those who understand me, those who love me, I'm going to count them as good figs because they allowed me to remove them from their land for their own good. Therefore, they shall be good. They are the good figs. But as in every move that comes along, there are those who resist, hallelujah, the moving of God because it just doesn't seem like what God would do. And sometimes we just don't trust God enough. God says that those who don't trust them to trust him through the good times and the bad times to what looks like a good move or who what looks like a bad move, when you don't trust God, you can't be counted among the good figs. Why would God allow us to be taken captive? Hallelujah. Our God doesn't lead us into captivity. Our God does, remember this, he does whatever is best for you and me at the time. It's like a parent who denies you something that you think you ought to have at the time, but you're being denied for your own good. Often you're being sent to the woodshed, as we used to say, hallelujah, to receive a whipping and a spanking, hallelujah, for your own good. It was always for your own good. And if God is even remotely good and a good parent and a good God, he will do exactly the same thing. And sometimes he'll have to put you in time out. That's a new concept. But God had to put his people in time out somewhere else. You see, when you put them in time out, you know, when you're dealing with children, you don't let them mingle with the rest of the children. You send them somewhere else. And they feel like they are imprisoned or bound up or in bondage or in captivity. But you are giving them the opportunity to contemplate and to reflect and to meditate on why they are there. But there are those who resist the power of God because they have a misconception of how faithful God is. And they don't have an understanding of the goodness of God and how he allows things to come upon us for our own good, how he chastens us to correct our behavior. You see, Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Hallelujah. He understood that hard time had come upon him, and he knew and trusted God so completely that he knew that nothing that would ever happen to him would ever turn him away from trusting God. Therefore, whatever situation God placed him in, he didn't try to get out of it. You hear what I said? Whatever situation God placed him in, he didn't try to get out of it because he trusted God. And he knew that whatever basket, hallelujah, he was in, that he was in the right basket at the right time. He knew that ultimately God had a plan to bless him and to prosper him. But today he found himself in a basket. Hallelujah. So we want to ask you this morning, what basket are you in? Are you one of the good figs? Hallelujah. Who are fit to be eaten? Or are you one of the naughty figs who resist the power of the Almighty? God has waved his hand and made a decree and purpose for you and I, good and blessing and plenty, in order for us to experience that which is good from God. You and I have to trust him to the point that we know that even though times seem hard, and even though it looks like men are ruling over us, and although it looks like we're bound up in captivity, that God has us where we are for a very good reason. And we know that nobody can change our destiny except us. And when we are naughty to the point where we resist the chastening of God, the correction of God, when we decide to make our own way and resist what God is sending our way, and run off to try to find some good place, hallelujah, a better day, a brighter future, that we think is brighter, when God is calling us to just hold tight, stand still. Hallelujah. Allow this seeming captivity to come upon you. Don't get too attached to the land that you're in. You understand? God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take his people off. And that captivity was ordained of God. We don't want to resist the power of God when he leads us into what looks like captivity, but is really meant for our own good. Why do we rebel? Because there's so much good where we are. We don't want to be led away. It's just too much here. I've got too much here. In my own life and in your lives, you know that where you are is where you want to be. Everything that you know is here. And you resist the captivity. You resist being led away for your own good. And you're so attached to where you are till you can't see the prosperity in where God is leading you. Sometimes it's true that in order to make a move, in order to be blessed, you've got to leave some things behind. You can't get too attached to where you are. Those who are too attached to where they are cannot be led into a better place for their own good. We love the surroundings. We love the lifestyle. We love what we have. We love our friends. We love this life that we have. So we're not willing to be led somewhere else for a short time in order to be blessed by God. Because our mind is not a mind that is in love with God Almighty, but we are in love with ourselves and our lives and our possessions, and we won't let them go for anything. Sometimes God is taking some stuff from us for our own good. Hallelujah. We don't see it. We can't imagine it. Because we don't trust. And we have to understand that God has a blessing for those who trust Him and allow the Word of God to be effective in their lives. You must allow the Word of God to take root in your life. And if God moves you to the left, you better go to the left. If God moves you to the right, you better go to the right, because it is for your own good. God loves His people. And if He allows anything to come, any trouble to come into your life, you don't have to worry about it, because God's aim is to bless you. Somehow, some way, this thing that you call trouble is in your life to bless you. You're going to get a victory over it, and God is going to make you stronger because you go God's way. Scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Hallelujah. God says to His people at that time, He said, if you will submit to the captivity that I am allowing to come upon you, I am going to bless you, and I am going to bring you back the same way I sent you off captive. I will bring you back victoriously if you will just obey and do as I say. But those who are determined to stay where God does not want you to be, you, He says, I will permanently scatter. If you will move when I say move and do as I say do, you will lose nothing. It will be a temporary move. I have sent you off. I will bring you back. But if you resist what I'm doing in your life, I will allow you to be permanently scattered. You will never see My blessing. You'll be a byword, and the nations will laugh at you because you don't trust Me. How many trust God this morning? You know, we got to trust Him in all things, especially when times get hard and you say, this can't be God. You don't know if it's God or not. You just got to trust that God is working it out for you. Don't lose faith. God knows all of your problems. Sometimes they can't. The circumstances are not ripe for the instant delivery of your problem, the instant solving of your problem. Some other things may have to be adjusted before you realize the correct time and the moment that the blessing will come to you. Don't get impatient when God is trying to work something out for you. Stay in the basket. Hallelujah. Be one of the good figs, fresh, ripe, that are ready to be eaten. And don't be like the naughty figs, which the later translates as evil figs. So evil that they're good for nothing and can't be eaten. There's nothing worse than bad fruit. How many know that? Rotten fruit is good for nothing. Hallelujah. And God wants the fruit of our lives to be good. And the only way we can continue to bear and be like good fruit is to continue to obey the Lord. What basket are you in today? What word has the Lord given you that you violently disagree with because it didn't seem like the right answer to you at the time, but it was the word of the Lord? Each of us has to search our hearts because God gives us a word. And sometimes that word is not what we want to hear. We want to hear sweet things, pretty things, pleasant things. But life is not always pretty. It's not always sweet. It's not always pleasant. But it's always good when we are in the will of God. Jeremiah was the kind of prophet who called the other prophets to task, because there were many who prophesied against the will of God. God had pronounced captivity, and some of them rose up and started preaching smooth things to the people instead of bringing the truth forward. We have to understand why we even need a prophecy, why we even need a man who knows the truth. Because if there is danger ahead, you certainly want to know that it's coming. If there are two ways to travel, you certainly want to know which road to take. Well, this is what Jeremiah says about those who lead his people, that help you make wrong decisions. In chapter 23 and verse 11, he says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, and horrible thing, they commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." And And then he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into the land. We always hear two paths to take. And the only way that we are to know which is the right path is to have a strong relationship with the Lord Himself. Because we need to know, to learn, to hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. If we don't know the voice of God, we follow other voices, and other voices lead us to a place and a reserved seat in that basket of evildoers. And so I say today that each one of us, you and I, need to strengthen our personal relationship with the Lord so that we will learn to trust Him, so that we'll learn to hear His voice and know what He is calling us to do. God communicates with those whom He loves, and those who know Him and those who are close to Him know His voice. And regardless of what the command is, we follow His command. No matter how dangerous it sounds, no matter how foolish sometimes it sounds like it's something against us. But when we trust God, we know that He has something good in store for us. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. I know He has something good in store for you and something good in store for me. He has already provided our good, but it's up to us to receive what He has already provided. Sometimes we don't know the path to provision because the path to provision is often camouflaged as the path to destruction. And the path to destruction is sometimes camouflaged as the path to provision. And the only way that you and I are going to know the difference is to know the Lord Himself. Amen. Hallelujah. The children say, yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I know Him for myself. He woke me up this morning, gave me a brand new dawn. Yes, I know Jesus for myself. And they sang it like they meant it, like they know Him. And we all have to sing that song like we know Him. Do you know Him today? If you know Him, you can't help but trust Him. Hallelujah. That means we are always listening for His voice. We're always looking. Hallelujah. Always looking. Always seeking. Always trusting. Waiting for the direction in which we are to follow. Each morning when we arise, we need to know our direction for that day. As we rise in the morning, He has something special for you and for me. Yes. Every day. Mm-hmm. We've got to know Him. Else we are led somewhere else by some other than God. We led down a way that seems right, but the end of that way is destruction. In order to have victory in our lives every day, we're going to have to learn to obey the voice of God. Sometimes God says, sit still. And it's not a time to move. Sometimes God says, move. And it's not a time to sit still. But we must learn to hear His voice. When Israel was in the wilderness, they followed the cloud. The cloud was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. They didn't move until the cloud moved. If the cloud didn't move, they stayed where they were. But when they saw the cloud move, they packed up and they moved along with the cloud. That is the path to the promised land. How many headed for the promised land? All right, how many in the promised land? That's what I really want to say. Because the kingdom of God is here on earth right now. If we will just receive it and stop looking to the future, but live it right now. Because he has provided us with the assurance that when we believe on the name of Jesus, all things are possible for us and all things are ours. And we have been given whatever we need. And all we need to do is trust Jesus to the point where we know that he is with us at all times. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah.